when I asked you to touch yourself, you touched only, or look at yourself, you touched or you saw only what we see. But God sees differently. He sees better than we, and even with, he doesn't even need glasses. He just can see, and it's like a searchlight being put right upon us. There's more to us than meets the eye. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, sort of kicks off a brief study tonight about the Trinity part of ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, reading from the TEV translation. May the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, and body free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are more than just what we can see and feel. What we see and feel is our body. The other part of us is a soul and is a spirit. Now on your paper, if you would, at the very top, the third part of the top, just draw a line across the top if you would, close to the top, about one third of the paper. Okay, just draw a line across the top part of your paper and about 2 inches down from the top if you would. Come on in. And at the very top portion, I want you to draw a circle just as large as you can get in that portion. Just draw a circle. Okay. You've got a circle drawn in the top part. All right. In the very middle of that circle, I want you to put a dot. Now, when you were born, God gave you this, which is the flesh, which is represented by the big circle. That's our animal nature. That's our being. All right. Now, the dot that you have there is what is representative of the spirit. But around that dot, draw another circle, if you will, which you should have really had you draw first. So you got a dot, a circle, and another circle, right? Okay. When God made each one of us, He made us, and we're illustrating it with the big circle, and that's our physical being. Then the scripture says that He breathed into the physical, and He made us become a living what? Soul, a living soul. So the person who is born with a physical body. We agree with that. Have you ever seen anybody born without a body? Okay. They got a body. And then as they started breathing, they became a soul, a living soul, which is represented by the second circle. And that's the way we live until there comes a time when we invite Jesus in our heart. And that's the dot. And that's our spirit. So we read in 1 Thessalonians that we are a threefold being. First of all, we are spirit, we're soul, and we're body. That's just the spirit's the dot, the soul is that inner circle, and the body is the big circle. Now, the name of the game is to get that tiny little spot that's represented by a pinpoint or a pencil point to grow. And as we receive Jesus into our being, then that little dot starts growing. And the ideal thing is to have that little dot become as large as the soul. Now, that's irregardless of the size of the big circle, because that's the physical. That's going to go by the wayside. No matter, you know, how we are now, it's going to go by the wayside when we die. So when we die, the big circle goes back to the dirt, because dust to dust, ash to ashes. Then the next circle is what we take to heaven. Remember that we were breathed, it was breathed into us a soul. And the soul is what lives forever and ever. So if the soul lives forever and ever, it's very important for the spirit within the soul to become enlarged. Have I lost all of you? You understand? If you have a question, please ask me. This is the simplest way I think I can explain to you that we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the only proof text that we have is this one in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now in Matthew 10:28.
Will you give me that 1 Thessalonians 5:23?
Now, I say that after we die, our soul goes to heaven. Matthew 10:28 reads like this. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body. That's the big circle. But cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of God. Be afraid of God, who can destroy both the body and the soul. So he destroys the body and the soul. The scripture indicates to us that there's the two parts of our being. The part that's going to go to the dust, the other part's going to live in eternity with God. So we have three natures. We have an animal nature, we have a soul nature, we have a spirit nature. Now, our study tonight has to do with temptations along these three lines. First of all, looking at Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted along the very same lines that we are tempted. Or to reverse that, we are tempted just as Jesus was tempted. Matthew chapter 4, and the first 11 verses, the familiar passages regarding the temptations of Jesus. It's also listed in Mark and in Luke. John does not talk at all about the temptation of Jesus. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. What spirit? The Spirit led him. What spirit led Jesus to the desert? Okay, the Spirit of God. He was there to be tempted. After spending how many days? 40 days. That's over a month. Okay. And nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Well, I guess he would be after 40 days. 40 days, that happens a lot. You know, Noah, they rained 40 days and 40 nights. A lot of things happen in the sequence of 40. Here, he was without food for 40 days and nights. He got hungry. Then, when he got hungry, what happened? The devil came to him. You know, the two times when I get really discouraged about my job and about the situations in the world and at home, and the two times are when I'm hungry and when I'm tired. Because when I'm hungry, when I'm tired, Satan grabs me right away. Otherwise, I can feel pretty good. I can be in control. But when I'm hungry and when I'm tired, then Satan has a heyday sometimes with me. Well, he tried to with Jesus. Then the devil came to him when he was hungry. Now, the devil came to him with three temptations. He first of all said, if you're God's son, order these stones to be turned into bread. Now, the guy was hungry, and these little stones looked like little sesame seed buns all around the place. And they were very inducive to eating, and they looked pleasant to the eye. So Satan says, hey, Jesus, you're hungry? Make the stones turn to bread. You can do that. You're the Son of God. Well, Jesus answered him, the Scripture says. That means that Jesus knew the Scripture. Man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that God speaks. He needs every word that God speaks. Now, the Word of God is the bread of life, and the bread gives us that sustenance that we need. That was the first temptation. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple. Now, he probably did this in his mind's eye, or if you want to believe that he actually took him to Jerusalem, you can believe that too. Irregardless, the temptation was, if you are God's son, which Satan knew he was, throw yourself down, for the Scripture says. Now, here we got the devil quoting Scripture. The devil says. The Scripture says, God will give orders to his angels. Hey, angels, 645, get down there and grab Jesus right away. He'll hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones. Now, he's up high on, say, the fourth level of the temple, and he jumps off. You know, he's going to break his ankles at least. But the devil says, Jesus, the Scripture reminds me that the angels will just pick you up. You know, you're falling like Superman, but he'll just grab you like that, and you won't hit the stones. Jesus said, but the Scripture also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Three, then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, this is verse 8, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their greatness. All this I'll give you, the devil said, if you kneel down and worship me. Then Jesus answered, go away, Satan. The Scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then what happened if you're reading and following verse 11? Then the devil left him. And who came?
The angels
came and helped him. I don't know how they helped him. Maybe, guess who's coming to dinner? You see, they just brought all the food for him. They brought the rest for him. They brought all that he really needed to be helped. Okay, we have three temptations. At the bottom of the paper, if you'll draw two lines to make three columns. Three columns. And I'd like just to share with you some of the notes that I jotted down on the beach last week as I was studying this temptation, because I realize that I'm tempted just as you are tempted, just as Jesus was tempted. And I've come to find out that the temptations that are imposed upon me are not temptations that all fall into one category, but they are falling in several categories, and you'll find them here as you write down. If you label the first column animal nature, and if you will label the second column soul nature, and if you will label the third column spirit nature, then you have the three natures that are reflected in that verse of scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because we are a three-part being. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. The body is the animal nature. The soul is the soul nature, obviously, and the spirit is the spirit nature. Now, in the first temptation of Jesus, Satan came to him, and what was the first temptation? Stones to bread. You're hungry. Okay, what part of my nature gets hungry? Is it my soul, or is it my spirit, or is it my body, my animal nature? Okay, the animal nature. So this is the first of the temptations. It comes into this category. Genesis 3:6, you know, the temptation with Eve. She was tempted by Satan, and she was tempted to fulfill, first of all, by eating the apple. It was the food. Satan is coming today in these realms for each one of us to kill us and to destroy us. And John 10:10 just reads similar to that, where John says, John 10:10, the thief, which is Satan, comes only in order to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what Satan wants to do to each one of us, young people and old people alike. Satan is trying to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us. On the other hand, Jesus has come to give life, life in all of its fullness. Now, if we'll go back to that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 verse, the last part of the verse read like this, which may be sort of hard to understand. May the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way, keep your whole being, spirit, soul, body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does somebody have another translation? You could read that, the last part of verse 23.
And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, may your soul, body, and spirit be found complete and blameless. Now, these are pretty high standards. But the person who lives the spirit-filled life and who has Christ enthroned in his heart as the ruler of his whole being can be so kept. Okay, Jesus was tempted first in the first column with his animal nature because he was hungry. Before we go any farther, let me read 1 John 2:16 and 17, which is a new verse for me. 1 John 2:16 and 17. Well, 1 John 2:16 and 17. Everything that belongs to the world, what the sinful self desires, what people see and want, and everything in this world that people are so proud of, none of this comes from the Father. It comes from the world. The world and everything in it that people desire is passing away, but he who does the will of God lives forever. This verse indicates that there are three things that are paramount in the search for Mr. Average Being. Everything that belongs to the world, what the sinful self desires, what people see and want, everything in this world that people are proud of, none of it comes from the Father. Now, the King James, do we have King Jimmy with us tonight? Anyone? Well, would you read yours then? I think it'll read okay.
therefore all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources, or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself.
Okay. King James even makes it closer to home, to the three columns that you have, by saying, everything that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three things. So if you put in the first column under the animal nature, you've already written body nature, put down the lust of the flesh. Remember that what we do when we get hungry is to eat, and that is lusting after the food to sustain us, and that's the flesh, because only the flesh can eat real food. So the first column you have the lust of the flesh, and this was how Satan came to Jesus. The second column you can have the lust of the eyes, and the third column you have the pride of life. Now the first temptation of Jesus was having to do with bread, and Jesus refused to have the miracle performed. The second temptation was Jesus was taken to the pinnacle and he was told to cast himself down. That's the second column. That's the second temptation. This is the lust of the eyes. The soul, it's sort of a soulish expression. You know, you throw yourself down, you're not going to get hurt. It comes in the second. It's the second temptation that comes under the soul nature. In other words, the protection. You became a living soul. You are alive, because when you die, your soul just goes away. Here is the second temptation, and it is the protection. Jesus says, I'm going to be protected. Satan says, throw yourself down. God's going to protect you. The third temptation of Jesus is the worship, and this is the pride of life. Jesus did not, of course, worship Satan, although today many people do. Satan took Jesus to the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their greatness. He says, bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms. Notice this, Jesus did not deny Satan's claim. This is very important. Jesus did not deny the claim that Satan owned all the kingdoms of the world. And you may say, well, I don't sort of believe that. Well, if you turn to scriptures like John 14:30, you may find a startling discovery here. John 14:30, and it reads like this. I cannot talk with you much longer because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father. That is why I do everything as he commands me. Jesus says that the ruler of the world is coming. Now this is Satan, young people. Satan is the ruler of this world. And the second scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. And it says, it's not 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Believe me, there is a scripture that says that Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world, Paul writes. And so these are two scriptures to realize that when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned the kingdom back over to Satan. And they once had it because they were to have dominion over it all. So they sinned, and after they sinned, then Satan became the ruler of all the kingdoms. And it's sort of hard for us to realize this, but everything went from man's hand to Satan's hand, making Satan the god of this world that Paul writes about. So Jesus did not deny the fact that that Satan had all these kingdoms to give him. Now our temptations today are the same as Jesus. They're threefold. We are tempted in our body, we are tempted in our soul, and we're tempted in our spirit. We are tempted today just like Eve was tempted. Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, Genesis 3:5, if you will yield to the temptation, you will be as God. You will be as God. And so today, people reach out for that which is bigger and greater and better than themselves, and then often fall to that temptation. The temptation is not bad, but it's the yielding to sin that's ruinous to our health. So we've got two rulers. We've got the God of this world, the G, little g of this world, and then we've got the God, capital G, who is our Lord, who is the God of the other world to which we are going to go sometime. As we conclude, could you share with us how Satan comes to us today in tempting us in these three natures, animal, the body, the soul, and the spirit, if it is true, which I think it is? Have you known of people or yourself who actually was tempted in one of these areas, body, soul, spirit? Or do you have any ideas you'd like to share? Maybe a question along the lines.
Advertisements and things, you're constantly being tempted by television and magazines and things to, you know, partake of things we necessarily shouldn't or should do in moderation. And I think in a way that, you know, he's behind this too.
Very subtle.
Yeah, I really do. I feel that is a part of Satan's way of getting to us and our weaknesses.
Okay. Could we be specific and maybe come up with just one universal temptation that probably we all are susceptible to in the line of each, the body, the soul, and the spirit? When we speak of body now, we're talking about our animal nature.
Food.
Hmm?
Food.
Okay, food. What else?
Sex.
Sex. Right on. What else?
Alcohol.
Okay, addictions of any kind? These would be, this is certainly not for the soul or the spirit, it'd be for the body. Okay, those are good illustrations. What could you come up with that would come under the category of the soul? Now, in the soul, it's we wrote down the lust of the eyes. What comes to your mind this way?
Wishing you had things that didn't belong to you.
Okay. Wishing you had things that do not belong to you. The pride of life as seen in things.
Occult.
The occult. Okay. Because some people really are driven to this, all right. What about the spirit nature? What comes to your mind in regarding the temptations under the category of a spirit nature? Anything that has to do with the spirit, I would say yes, and faith certainly comes under that category.
Satan's lie that we look at things as they are, and that's faith.
Okay, that's right. This has to do with the spirit too. Well, his object is to kill, destroy us all in these temptations. But the beautiful thing is, this last note that I wrote down here, Luke 10:19-20. Jesus came through it, and you will too. Luke 10:19-20. Preface with verse 18. Jesus answered them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Listen, I have given you authority so that you can walk on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. But don't be glad because the evil spirits obey you. Rather be glad because your names are written in heaven. The second group of the 70 have just returned, and they said, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we gave them a command in your name. And so Jesus says, I give you the authority too, young people and adults. But don't be glad because the evil spirits obey you, but be glad because your names are written in heaven. Well, this is our inheritance, people, for us tonight. that when we come against the temptations in the body, the soul, and the spirit, we can be as victorious as was Jesus. And in every occasion, he rebuked Satan by quoting scripture. And that's why the word of God is so important. As David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Any question or comment on our study tonight? Well, I praise the Lord that we are part of the 70 who've been sent out, and that we've got the inheritance just as did those early men and women who went out. And what our inheritance is, that even Satan, you know, is subject to what we say. We can rebuke him. We can say, "I'll have nothing to do with this." When we are tempted tonight to do this or to do that, we say, "Hey, hold off. Get away, Satan." And the scripture says that if you pronounce judgment upon him, he will flee from you. That's pretty good. It's like giving the devil a permanent wave. You know, go forever. Let's stand and pray, may we? Our Father, if Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted with his three natures, how much more will we be tempted? And since we are tempted, we thank you that we've been given something within us to help overcome the temptation. And it's within us to be used when called upon. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is in the life of each one of us who are believers who've given our heart to Jesus. This week when we're tempted, may we be as strong as Jesus, not yielding to our temptation, but be strong in body, in soul, and in mind. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As you go, remember this, that you do have something in you that's very powerful. Something that's in you when you ask Jesus to save you. We came home from the beach house Friday night to a house without electricity. And we lived Friday night, all day Saturday, and Saturday night, and Sunday morning, at least before we came to church, and half of this afternoon, before we realized that we had electricity all along. All we had to do was go outdoors and flip the new circuit breakers that had been installed. But we didn't know that, because we flipped the switch and we saw open outlets and realized that it had not been put together. When you ask Jesus to save you, the Spirit is within you. And you may not even know it. And you may live in darkness. So all you got to do is to flip what switch is necessary in the areas that are necessary and utilize what God's given you, because you've already got God's Spirit once you became a Christian. God bless you this week. If you have any special prayer requests or needs, we invite you to stay. We'll be happy to pray for you.